Welcome back, everybody. We're doing another deep dive today, and I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, this will be fun.
We're looking at King Hezekiah and using Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Isaiah as our guide.
He's such a good scholar, really brings out the nuances.
Yeah, and I think we'll see with this one, Hezekiah is not just a simple, you know, story of piety.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
So let's just dive in. We have this incident where Hezekiah falls deathly ill.
Right, like seriously ill.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, God tells Isaiah to inform him that he's not going to make it.
Ooh, talk about a tough break.
Yeah, and so what does Hezekiah do? He doesn't just accept this.
Oh, no, not at all.
He's a fighter.
Yeah.
He passionately pleads with God.
For his life.
Yeah, and here's what's so interesting to me. He doesn't beg for forgiveness or promise to change his ways. He points to his past faithfulness.
Like, look what I've done.
Yeah, his good deeds. It's like he's bargaining a little, don't you think?
It really challenges our assumptions about how we approach God. You know?
Absolutely. Especially when you see how God responds.
Right. God gives him 15 more years.
Like, what? You know, this really throws a wrench in how we view repentance.
For sure.
And what it takes to receive God's grace.
It makes you wonder, is there a formula?
Right. Like, are we trying to fit God's grace into a box?
I think so, yeah. Like, it should be more, I don't know, expansive.
Mysterious.
Yes. Mysterious. That's the word.
So, okay, Hezekiah gets this miraculous recovery, right? You'd think, okay, party time.
Yeah, total celebration mode.
Gratitude galore.
Overflowing with joy.
But then he writes a poem.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly somber.
Yeah, very introspective.
Yeah, reflecting on his mortality.
It's almost like he's still processing, you know?
Yeah. He uses some really powerful imagery. He compares his life being like a tent being plucked up.
Wow.
Yeah. He talks about his dwelling being taken away.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. He even compares himself to a moaning dove.
You don't expect that after such a dramatic miracle.
It's like, wait a minute. Was he wrestling with doubt even after all that?
Maybe. Or could it be like a deeper appreciation for life now?
Ooh, I like that.
He's really aware of his mortality.
Yeah, like the reprieve is temporary. And then what does he do? This is the kicker.
Okay, what now?
So he gets these envoys from Babylon, supposedly to congratulate him.
All right, seems harmless enough.
But then he decides to, well, show off a little.
Oh, no. What did he do?
He boasts about all his wealth and treasures.
To these envoys? Like, why?
To Babylon. A potential rival.
Seriously? After that heartfelt prayer, the poem, all that?
I know. It seems so out of character.
It is strange. Maybe he's trying to intimidate them.
Maybe. Project an image of strength, you know?
Like, don't mess with me.
Yeah. But then the prophet Isaiah steps in, and he is not happy.
Oh, boy. Here comes the truth bomb.
Right. And he delivers this stark warning.
I bet Hezekiah wasn't expecting this.
Nope. Isaiah prophesies that Babylon will one day conquer Judah and take everything. Everything. Now, here's what's really wild.
Okay, I'm ready.
At this point, Assyria, not Babylon, was the big threat.
Oh, right, right. Assyria was the dominant power.
So Isaiah's prophecy, it's not just a slap on the wrist for showing off.
Yeah, there's something bigger going on.
It's a glimpse into a future that probably seemed impossible at the time.
Like way down the line.
Yeah, and this shift in focus from Assyria to Babylon, it's huge.
Setting the stage for what's to come.
Exactly. And you know what else is interesting? It's right around this time that Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, is born.
Oh, wow. That timing is significant.
And Hezekiah says, there will be peace and security in my days.
Ooh, famous last words.
Right, like, phew, dodge that bullet. My son, though.
That's some heavy foreshadowing right there.
It's a powerful reminder that our choices have consequences.
Especially for those who come after us.
And that leads us to a question that I think is super important.
Hit me with it.
If Hezekiah, a king known for his faith, could be so easily swayed by pride.
Right, and worldly concerns.
What does that say about the challenge of really trusting in God?
Especially when we feel secure, comfortable.
Right, like maybe even those who are deeply devoted can stumble.
It's humbling, for sure. Makes you wonder what was going through his head, you know? Like, what was he thinking?
Yeah, was this just pure pride? Or was there maybe a strategy behind it?
A strategy? Like what? You think he was trying to play it smart?
Well, Dr. Oswalt suggests that maybe, just maybe, it wasn't all about vanity.
Okay, I'm listening.
What if he was trying to intimidate them? You project this image of strength.
So they wouldn't even think about attacking.
Exactly. But if that was the plan, it didn't exactly work out so well, did it?
No, not at all. Isaiah's prophecy kind of throws a wrench in that theory.
Right. It's this huge reminder that even the best laid plans, you know,
they can be totally turned upside down
by forces we can't control.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole story so interesting, right? This tension between what we do and, well, God's plan.
Yeah, like Hezekiah is trying to make the best decisions for his kingdom.
As any good king would.
But then you have this sense that something bigger is happening.
Like a play, almost.
I like that.
Where the characters have their lines, but the ending's already written.
And it makes you wonder, how much control do we really have?
Right. Are we calling the shots, or is there something else guiding us?
Big questions. And I think Hezekiah's story brings them to life in such a powerful way.
Totally. And it's not just about kings and prophecies, you know. It's about how we see our own lives.
Absolutely. And that brings me back to something Hezekiah says in his prayer.
Mm-hmm. Which part?
When he's begging for healing, he says, I have done what is good in your sight.
Oh, yeah. That's a loaded statement for sure.
It's like he believes his actions, his good deeds, somehow earned him God's favor.
Like, hey, I deserve this, right?
Right. Almost like a transaction. Makes you wonder how we view our relationship with God.
Totally. Do we think it's about checking off boxes?
Or is it something deeper, more unconditional?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
And I think Hezekiah's story challenges us to really wrestle with that.
Because here's a guy known for his piety, but even he seems to struggle with grace.
It's humbling, right?
Totally. Like, even the most devoted can miss the mark sometimes.
And it underscores this need for humility.
To realize that it's not about what we do, but what God has already done.
It's about receiving that grace, not trying to earn it.
Amen to that. And speaking of grace, let's circle back to Isaiah's prophecy.
Yeah, the whole Babylon thing.
It's so interesting how it just pops up almost like a side note.
Like, oh, by the way, this is going to happen too.
It's what I love about the Bible, you know, this weaving together of history and prophecy.
Yeah, it's like you have to read between the lines, look for the deeper meaning.
Exactly. And I think it reminds us that we're all part of something bigger.
This story that keeps unfolding even beyond our own lifetimes.
And that's where Hezekiah's story becomes so powerful.
It's not just ancient history. It's a reflection on the human condition.
With all its messiness and beauty.
The doubts, the hopes, the pride, the humility.
It's all there. And it shows us that even when we screw up.
Even when we make bad choices.
God's love is still there.
That's the beauty of it all, isn't it?
It is. It's a reminder that there's always hope.
Always a chance to turn back to that love and find wholeness.
And on that note, I think it's time we shift gears a bit and talk about...
We've got this king, right? Praise for his reforms, his devotion.
Yeah, standing up to the Assyrians, purifying worship.
But then there's the other side. The pride, the showing off.
And that whole thing with Babylon. Like, he basically paved the way for the exile.
It makes you think, you know, about how easily power can corrupt even the most righteous.
It's like a warning sign flashing in neon lights. Don't let worldly stuff get to your head.
Stay humble. Focus on what really matters.
Exactly. God's will, not golden chariots.
So how do we reconcile these two sides of Hezekiah? The good king and, well, the not so good.
It's tough, right? We do this all the time with historical figures.
We want easy answers. Hero or villain.
But like's not like that, is it? It's messy.
We got to resist that urge to simplify.
People are complex. Hezekiah was a man of faith. A brave leader, but he messed up too.
And that's what makes him relatable, even thousands of years later.
Because we're all like that, aren't we? Capable of great things, but also prone to screw up.
It's like looking in a mirror, you know?
Yeah.
Reminds us to be a little more understanding.
Have a little compassion for ourselves and for others.
We all need second chances. We all need grace.
And that's where his encounter with death is so powerful.
Being told you're going to die, then pleading with God for more time.
And getting it. That's got to shake you to your core.
And then he writes that poem, reflecting on it all.
Yeah, so much depth there.
A beauty of life, the inevitability of death. It's a lot to process.
It's like he's holding these two truths at the same time. Joy and sorrow, the finite and the infinite.
And that tension. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Throughout history, in our own lives, it's the human condition.
It's about finding meaning in all of it.
Embracing the gift of life, even with its limitations.
In Hezekiah's story, it's not just about him, right?
No, it's about us, too.
It's about facing our own mortality, our own struggles.
But also finding hope, knowing that even in death, God's love is there.
It's like this bedrock we can stand on, something that never changes.
A source of strength, of comfort, even when everything else feels uncertain.
So we've explored a lot today. Hezekiah's faith, his mistakes, his legacy.
This intricate dance between our choices and God's plan.
And I think what's clear is that his story, it still matters.
It speaks to us across the centuries, offering wisdom, challenges, and hope.
It pushes us to look inward, examine our own lives and beliefs.
To strive for integrity, for humility.
To trust in something bigger than ourselves.
And to remember always that grace is there for the taking.
You know, before we wrap things up, I keep thinking about one thing.
What's that?
We focus a lot on his shortcomings, but what about his positive side?
Oh, absolutely. His courage, his willingness to stand up for what's right.
Even when facing those powerful empires.
And his devotion. Despite the doubts, he always came back to God.
Like, that's got to count for something, right?
It does. It shows us that we don't have to be perfect.
We can mess up, stray from the path, but we can always turn back.
God's love is always there, waiting for us, ready to forgive, to offer a new beginning.
And that, I think, is the most powerful lesson of all. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep searching for that truth.